Need a ride? Stay listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. You may or may not have your own car. You may rely on public transportation, either whenever you need to go somewhere or perhaps just occasionally. Even if you have a car, there may be times when it's more convenient to use a taxi, going to and from the airport, for instance, or to a doctor's appointment. There are new and more options in this age of technology, and here to discuss them is Matt Donlan, the CEO of Userve, a reservation network company. Mr. Donlan, in a sentence, what is Userve?
Userve is like the on-demand Open Table. So if you ever used Open Table to get a reservation at a restaurant, we are the Open Table is to the various on-demand drivers.
And the on-demand driver services are?
Uber and Lyft primarily.
And what are they?
Well, they're ride-sharing companies, and they're governed by what they call TNC, Transportation Network Statutes, governed in every state. Basically, what it does is allow you to get an Uber license, basically, to use your own car and get authorized on an app after going through a background check, insurance, etc. And then you're able to turn on your Uber app, for example, and then wait for somebody to request you via the app. The app then directs you to the person. They know you're coming. They see a picture of you. They have a license plate. They can see you on the map as you're getting close to them. And when they arrive, you jump in the car, and then we'll go to the destination you want, and you get out. It's a cashless environment. So it's very quick. The biggest complaint I get is you got here too fast. Now, Uber is also wonderful from an economic standpoint. Riders love it. It's about half the price of a taxi. More efficient, clean, better experience. Generally, that's why it's worth $68 billion right now. It's only been around since 2009.
When you say cashless, you mean it's done through the app by a credit card?
Right. So the rider will put in their credit card, and it's basically all you get to do with your experience is rate the driver. It's self-policing. It's pretty cool because when I get out of the car, I get to tell Uber that I had a five-star or a one-star, which is bad, experience with you. And so I get rated as a driver. If my rating goes down, they'll kick me off the app. Likewise, I can rate the passenger. So the passenger generally doesn't know that. But I can see before I accept a ride as an Uber driver, all I know is how far away you are, what your rating is, and the address. And I got 15 seconds to say yes or no or let it go. So generally, the closest driver from the request gets the first chance to say yes. You know, I want to go take that ride.
Now, you are an Uber driver. Think of it as from the terms of a passenger. What does a passenger have to do? First of all, obviously, get the Uber app.
Yeah, it's one of the fastest downloaded apps in the world, besides a couple others I can think of. But it takes literally probably 3 to 4 minutes to actually download the app, put in your credit card, and you're ready to request a ride.
Now, anytime you're ready to go somewhere, let's say to the airport, what do you do?
Well, you
as a passenger.
As a passenger, you open up your app, and it will tell you, hey, there is a car available. It's 10 minutes away. It's 15 minutes away. Do you want to request it or not? Now, sometimes, though, the problem is outside of the high-densely populated areas, you'll open the app and it'll say no car available, right? So at 4:45 in the morning, if you're trying to get to the airport, you may be out of luck because there's no driver out there transponding that I'm alive and ready to take a ride. They're just not there all the time.
Is that where your company comes in?
Yeah, that's exactly where my sweet spot of my company comes in, right? As a passenger, I would open up my app because I live on the outskirts of town and want to get a ride in. And I'd be frustrated that there was no car available. I would turn on my driver app, and Uber would tell me, oh, man, go out to these outside zones, and that's where ride requests are happening. So you can't reserve an Uber. They're an on-demand-only system. They entered every market in every part of the country, not competing with taxis and limos because they were on-demand only. So they're limited, but they're very effective in highly dense areas.
So what does your company, Userve, and how do you spell that?
Yeah, Userve, I like to say it rhymes with reserve, right? There was an executive that went out and bought a domain name called reserve.com for $7 million. I looked at it and said, you know, Userve sounds enough like it. For $7.95, I bought the domain name.
And what does your company, Userve, do that Uber and Lyft do not do?
Well, we take it to the next level. The rider loves the economics of Uber, but they really want reliability. They want to know a car is going to be there when they want it to be there. And they also want trust and familiarity, especially for the seniors and the visually impaired. They want to sort of get to know their drivers, right? So it's just not a random person that happens to be the first in. So what we do is allow drivers to set up profiles in our app. So you can filter and say, is this person pet-friendly, disability-friendly, you know, four-wheel drive, all that kind of stuff. And you can take out of the 500 or 600 people that are on-demand drivers in Richmond, you can filter for the ones you want. Or if you have good experiences in the car, you can say, man, I want you again, Matt. How do I do that? Well, you go to my app and favorite me. So when you want an Uber car, you would send out a reservation request. And you can do this far in advance. And if I accept it, then I'll be in your driveway at the time. At that point, you open up the Uber app and do the request. And since I'm so close to you, I get the ride. Right? So we work in tandem, complementary to the on-demand world. We're a front-end reservation piece to connect the rider with the driver, and then Uber does the transportation piece.
You mentioned about getting to the airport, for instance, at 4:45 in the morning.
Right.
Can you, through your service, Userve, make a reservation for 4:45 in the morning and find a driver who's willing to get up that early?
Absolutely. The most popular ride request we get, and drivers love it. They always want to start their day off making $30, right? So from a driver's perspective, I don't have to be ready to go. I can see a reservation request for tomorrow offline and say, boy, I want that. So now I can manage my day. I can say, you know what, I have 4 appointments tomorrow. In between appointment 3 and 4, I can go see my kid play soccer. You know, there's a management, time management, quality of life issue for the driver as well.
You mentioned that you can set preferences for the ride, but does it make it more reliable?
There is a reliability factor, because when you have firsthand experiences and you have relationships, and you send them out to your favorites, you know that, hey, this is not the first time this guy and I have been together. They know me. I trust them. They're here every time. You know, we've had a lot of people say they've had such great relationships with their 5 or 6 Uber drivers that they will use our system to go pick up their daughter at soccer practice because they can't make it. That's the kind of trust we're trying to build.
And it's more personal, it seems.
Very much so. And it's very personal. I'll tell you a couple stories that relates where I'm driving around, I get a ping, and I out in the boonies, and I go get a call, because you can contact the driver on the way. They set up a little communication channel with you when you connect with Uber, and this is before Userve, okay? And it was two blind people that were leaving lunch celebrating a birthday. And it was really awesome because they were so liberated that they could actually use this on-demand system, but they were about to have dessert because they couldn't find a car. And when they saw me pop on the screen, they canceled dessert and came out to get the ride. I go, wow, that's pretty cool. And they made sure that I dropped them off at the right location, because he said some Uber drivers don't pay attention to that and put them in the wrong spot and presented a problem to them as far as where they were. And so this happened not once, not twice, but 4 or 5 times, and I realized, you know, that the visually impaired are really leveraging Uber and allowing them the freedom and flexibility to go places they wouldn't typically do well in, right? As part of that, you know, thing, when I developed Userve app, at first we made a mistake and we didn't make it 508C compliant, and we got a lot of complaints from the blind and visually impaired, and it was just an oversight on our part. We went back and fixed that, and next thing you know, we get a call from Apple VIS saying that we're one of the most popular apps out there for the blind and visually impaired. In fact, every time I open up a city, they have such a great communication network. When I open up a city, usually the first people that make a reservation are the blind and visually impaired. So it has a great impact, because they will get their Uber app, and they'll know who's coming at them once the ride's accepted. They'll cancel because they know they don't want that person. They've done that time and time again from this location, because they've had bad experiences, and some of the Uber drivers that live in this area are the ones that will get the ping because they're closest to them. Our folks I talked to said, no, I'll cancel. I'd rather have my own person.
Matt Donlin is the CEO of Userve. I take it you devised this whole thing and set it up?
I did.
And you saw a need. As an Uber driver, you saw the need?
Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. I used to have a cybersecurity company I did quite well with. I sold that in 2006, and out of sheer boredom, I decided to do this. I mean, one of my favorite jobs as a kid was delivering flowers. And, you know, the social aspect of having people in your car. And so when I looked at it from the rider perspective, I saw gaps. But more importantly, from the driver perspective, I saw bigger gaps. The drivers are treated like commodities for the most part. You know, they want as many drivers as possible, flood the market, that's the way it works. What I saw is I'm giving them a platform, these independent contractors, not just to be a driver, but to build their business. Because now they can get repeat clients, build a book of business, and we offer something very powerful called residual rewards. So, Lou, you're in my car. You like my Mercedes GL. You say, hey, how can I get you again? I give you my card with my code on it. You download my app with my code, and now I'm linked to you for life. Every time you use a reservation system, I'm going to get 7% of that reservation fee going back to you. So if you're a driver, you get hundreds of people referred, you're making money when you sleep. Also, Uber, for whatever reason, don't really encourage tipping of the driver, which is a bone of contention. And it's socialized that the tip is included when it's really not. And so our app, if you prefer and you want to give somebody a gratuity for being in your driveway at 4:45 a.m., you can offer that up front. So the driver now sees the whole value of the ride. They see the start and the end point. They know how many miles it is. They know how much that translates into money into their pocket. Then they see the incentive on top of that, which is something they don't normally get. Then they say, yeah, I want that ride. Now, five or six people may want that ride, but then the rider sees the five or six and says, ah, Matt's available. I want Matt. We make the connection. We open up a chat room, and then we make the Uber or Lyft on-demand service possible.
10 years ago, Uber and Lyft did not exist, nor did your service exist. And now, here we are in the 21st century, a day of electronics and all sorts of technical innovations. But you mentioned that your service is particularly good for vision-impaired people. How do vision-impaired people take advantage of an app on a phone that they may not be able to see?
Well, Apple's done a tremendous job with the Uber app on the iOS system, what they call VoiceOver. And it was incredible to me when I saw it in action. They actually can use the Uber app. They can have it read to them. Every little icon they touch is read to them. And they effectively can use the Uber app. So when we added our app to it, at first it didn't have that. Learned a lesson. Now they can hover over a name and see my profile and read about me and select me. So this VoiceOver capability for the blind and visually impaired is critical to them. It's almost as critical as what GPS is to Uber. Without GPS, Uber wouldn't work.
Now, it's interesting. How do you may not know and you may not even care, but how do companies like Uber view your service user?
Well, we are happily independent from each other. What they get out of my service is rides they typically would not get. Okay? So they don't care. They're the engine. We're making the market bigger. We're not taking away from their market because we still use their transportation app. So if I'm out in the hinterlands and I don't have a way to get an Uber, I'm calling a cab. I'm calling some other form of transportation. I'm driving myself. Uber's now getting rides extended out to the reaches because typically they do really, really well in the high demand concentrated area, but out in the sweet zone, not so much.
Now, this is new to many of our listeners. It's certainly new to me. What haven't we touched on?
Well, seniors. Likewise, my dad's 86 years old, lives in Glen Ellen, and what's really nice about my app is that he doesn't like strangers either. He's a CIA guy. So what I have done is created the five drivers he knows. Three of them happen to be nurses that drive for Uber, right? So these are mostly side jobs, these Uber folks. So I will be able to sit 35 miles away, and I can call from my house and reserve a driver he knows to come to his driveway. I can then, from my house, ping that Uber, and my dad can be helped into the car, no cash required, driven all the way to my house for dinner, and it's easy. That's why we won the Global Aging 2.0 competition locally, and we're supposed to be out at Silicon Valley in October. So this is an app that is why we won. What kind of technologies are going to make the lives of the elderly more convenient? When my dad shouldn't be driving and we took away his car, that hurts. But to be able to get him transportation from anywhere without him having to worry about it is huge from a standpoint of, when I get old, I'm going to be taking advantage of that myself.
It sounds like you must have both apps. You must have both Uber and User.
Correct.
And how do you get those? Now, many people may say, I don't know, I'll just go to the Apple store or the Android store and get it, but we might, those who are not technically...
Right. You would have to go to the store. We haven't reached the point where, we've been here less than a year. The apps have been in the App Store since April. We've had now 7,500 drivers from across the country wanting this app to for their Uber driving. We opened up 52 cities. We're about to be in 144 by the end of the year. But you have to go to the Google Store, Apple Store. You type in UZURV, and there'll be two apps that pop up. One says UZURV Driver. If you're a rider, don't download that one. If you're a rider, it's nice and blue. You can hit that button and download it and do simply what you would have to do with Uber. When I briefed the Imperial folk home here locally, they loved it, but sometimes they forgot that you also needed the Uber. But our drivers understand enough. When the gentleman came out, he was 87 years old, spry young man compared to most of the guys there, they helped him download the Uber app so they can make that connection. So we can't work without an on-demand system because we don't do transportation. We just do the reservation.
I hear you're a local company, and yet I hear you have expanded almost across the United States from Richmond.
Yes.
Is that because of the technology of the Internet these days? You can be anywhere.
Well, it's more than that. The way it's designed, you know, I don't have to have brick and mortar. You know, I don't have to go build an office. There's a couple companies out there. One of them, they have 24 employees, and they're worth $4 billion. You don't need people, necessarily. You know, I have technology I can buy from Amazon. I don't need to go buy a computer room and computers. You know, I can buy services. So our company enables us to basically define a market, click a button, and all of a sudden our app works in that button. But the first thing we have to do, though, before we open up, is we have to get enough drivers ready, trained, and, you know, looking at the website, how it works. And once they beg me to open, which is usually the case, then I'll light them up with my whole staff, and we will welcome the first key people virtually into our conference room in Richmond from wherever they are and ask questions back and forth, and then we have a little ceremony, hit the button, and that market's open. We think it's going to take about 2 years for every market to fully mature. Some are going to go faster than others as word spreads, but that's what we, you know, we program in.
Now, people know about, you've explained about Uber and its companion Lyft, their competitors.
Right.
But you've explained how they work, and people can use it as a taxi service, basically, but a more personalized taxi service. And it is less expensive than a taxi generally?
Way less expensive. 40% less expensive.
To use Uber or Lyft?
Correct.
And now, what does your company, UZURV, put on top of that?
We charge, depending on the market, roughly a $1 to $2 reservation fee, flat. And we charge the driver, if they're accepted, a $1 to $2 reservation acceptance fee. So we charge both the rider and the driver when we make the connection.
And that really pays for the personalization, the trust.
You want a car at 4:45 a.m. in your driveway? Is that worth $2 to you to know you get 40% cheaper than a taxi going to the airport?
Well, even at 2 in the afternoon, but I want to make sure he's there at 2 in the afternoon and not 2:30.
There's no guarantee he's not going to get in an accident on the way there. You know,
sure.
So there is that. And likewise with the Uber drivers, they break down, but you know that happens.
Anything else we should know?
The seniors, disability, pet friendly is huge. You know, their Uber drivers are told that they have to accept pets. Some personally don't do it, and that is a bone of contention. You can go ahead and curate your favorites based on, hey, I got to get my dog to the veterinarian. I don't want a car showing up that is now going to be a problem. So you would have different, you know, maybe reasons to select different riders.
Matt, we said this twice, but let's say it a third time to close out. How does one get your app? And I guess the companion Uber app.
They're both in the same place. They're spelt a little bit differently. Uber is easy to get in the Apple Store. You can type in UBER, and it will light up, and you can go ahead and download that. Likewise, if you type in UZURV, rhymes with reserve, but it's UZURV, it's both in the Apple Store and the Google Play Store, and we're growing daily, weekly. So we're located right here in Richmond in Scott's Addition at the Hoffheimer Building. It's a really fun place. We have a lot of energy from all the people that come by and say hello, but we have about 15 employees here. I have somebody working the international space and some working the business space. So there is one more thing. I forgot about the other market. We now, because you can reserve these on-demand services, we have people setting up websites at event spaces like Hanover Hall, where they say, we want you to get home safely. We're in the outskirts. But go ahead and reserve your on-demand driver, and this is how you do it. So we're using the drivers to help promote and market themselves. which is going very well, needs to be better, and I think it's picking up. But now businesses, if you are a corporation, let's say a big corporation, you could look through all the drivers we have and find out which ones would be wanting to get rides from company to go pick up their interviewees. And then the companies can incentivize the driver to offer them a welcome packet at the airport and drive them back. Now, there's also concierge medical groups. Their biggest problem is transportation from their home to get them into the concierge service. They've talked to me about, hey, will you let your drivers know that are willing to help the person into the car to the elevator? We will want to badge them, so when we make the reservation, we'll pay for it just to get them in here, but we want the people that know about our program.
So instead of just dropping them off at the office, they'll take them in, something a taxi driver normally does not
do. Absolutely not, right. There's a level where these people would say, volunteer for the program. Oh, here's even a better one that came up the other day. The Virginia Tourism Group found us, and they went, wow, can you tell all the drivers in Richmond that are on-demand drivers to come in and take a four-hour course? If they do, we'll badge them and promote them, because we'll tell people coming into Richmond that these guys have been schooled into knowing the great points of interest, the historical area. If they want a tour, then use these drivers over somebody else. So there's a whole bunch of ways people can now leverage this vast array of independent contractors that have all kinds of skills. All they want to do is make money, and we're offering maybe other opportunities to get rides that aren't there today because you can reserve them and reserve the drivers you want.
Very interesting. If you have a need for a service like this, you've heard from Matt Donlin, the CEO of Userve, UZURV. You're listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.